I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We just spoke with a Chicago police officer a couple minutes ago who confirmed that there are at least 433 migrants staying here at the airports. The migrants that we spoke to say that the conditions here are inhumane and they have some concerns about their well-being. As groups of migrants flown in from states like Texas continue to arrive at Chicago's O'Hare Airport almost daily, concerns about their living conditions continue to rise.
Well, they find another place for us to go to. Some have been here for 10 days, but people keep leaving, and the city of Chicago will take us and will find a place for us to stay.
This man is from Venezuela and has been staying at the O'Hare's makeshift shelter for 4 days, hidden behind a black curtain in the middle of the airport. He says the facility is overcrowded with hundreds of migrants. Many are children. The groups of more than 400 migrants are well over the capacity limit set by the city, and a huge spike from the merely 31 migrants at the beginning of August. News Nation was able to obtain photos and videos from behind the curtain, showing confined spaces of families sleeping on the ground.
Whoa. Sleeping on the ground? That makes it sound like they're in really desperate situation. They're at Chicago O'Hare Airport. They're sleeping on the carpet at Chicago O'Hare Airport. They have plenty of ventilation, air conditioning, heat if they need it. But they're being sheltered from the general passengers at O'Hare. If you've been in and out of O'Hare over the last few days, weeks, you might have passed by some of these black curtains. Well, what's going on over there? And you hear jabbering and so forth, different languages. That's what's been going on. They have an influx of illegals arriving at Chicago O'Hare. And that report is filed in that reporter's remarks. Many of them sent here from Texas. Blame Texas right away. Blame Texas. Texas opened its border and said, come on in. We'll get you to Chicago, and then don't forget we'll get you to New York. We'll get you to Illinois if that's where you want to go, because they are all sanctuary cities and states. We're more than glad to hear. Now, wait a minute. I don't think the Texas governor opened the border. He's been trying to keep it closed, and who's fighting against him? The Biden administration and all the progressives. We got a lot to break down. Glad to have you with us, as always. Here we are, September 8, 2023. And I remind you, this is the first of 2 hours, back-to-back, Larry Connors, USA. While we're on the air with you, we're also streaming the program on News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors, USA Facebook and Twitter, and, of course, also available on Rumble. Glad to have you watch now or watch later and listen now or listen later. Everything's put up as a podcast when we wrap up, going to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Very easy to find it. Or you can go to the Twitter accounts. I mean, we wall-to-wall coverage it for you, so you can't miss it. And I see more and more of you are sharing with your friends, your family, maybe your enemies. I love that. Continue doing it, will you? Share it. Just send them on out. I appreciate your support. So here we have the situation now in Chicago, which has been building. And a lot of folks have been not really aware of it. In the beginning, they had something like 31 migrants, as you heard the TV report state. And now they're up to 400, and they've exceeded the limit by the Chicago standards there. Now, of course, Chicago is run by, let me remember, which party controls Chicago? The Green, no, not the Green Party, although they could. The Independent, no, the Whigs, the Tories, the Democrats. The Democrats control Chicago and the state of Illinois. And they're getting some of their just desserts right now with migrants stacking up at the airport. Now, you have to feel for the people. Let's begin there. Let's accept the humanity of another person in whatever condition they're in if it's not the best for them. But there, believe me, the conditions at Chicago O'Hare Airport right now, where they're staying, is far better than trying to make their way with drug cartels from somewhere in Mexico or wherever they originated to get to the southern border, despite the heat, the scorpions, the rattlesnakes, and the possibility that children are being constantly raped and molested. Aside from that, how are you going to complain about being in Chicago O'Hare Airport? I believe that right now, the progressive mantra they've adopted, that they are victims, and they also should be privileged to have everything you have, even though they come into the country illegally. There are many legal migrants here. We built our country on that. And there are many more trying to come in. You know how they do it from other countries? What we do with our immigration plan is we allot a certain number to come from each country each year, kind of like a lottery. And if your lottery number gets pulled, you get a chance. You've got the golden ticket. You get to go to America. And then maybe you can later bring your family over or however it works out. And they're waiting for that chance. Others are saying, hell with waiting. I'm gonna get my way to Mexico somehow or another, and then I'm going to make sure I get across the southern border because it's open. It's porous. It does not exist anymore under this administration. Minimum number is 2.5 million illegals coming across since Biden took office. The number, many say, is closer to 7. And it could be even higher. The so-called getaways, the ones they capture on scopes and cameras in the middle of the night when they're obviously in a clandestine mode. They're trying to sneak across, which means they're probably bringing drugs, children, whatever, or have some malicious plan for the U.S. and you. And, of course, you remember just yesterday, we're letting you hear how New York City Mayor Adams was on the rant about how he's having to deal with these unwashed immigrants in his city. I mean, really, he didn't call them that way. But as you listen to him, he is putting them down. It sounds like xenophobic. He doesn't like brown people. And some of them coming in to New York City are black people. And Mayor Adams is a black person. But he doesn't like it happening. Who's he blaming? Well, we'll come to that, but again, hear the rant.
Let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. One time we were just in Venezuela. Now we're in Ecuador. Now we're in Russian speaking coming through Mexico. Now we're in Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come into New York City.
They want to be in New York City, the Big Apple. Come on, you said you were sanctuary city. We welcome you. Sanctuary state, we welcome you. So they come, and now they're going to destroy our city. They, treating them like, dare I say it, treating the illegals, which they want to call migrants, as invading animals or an invading army. In some cases, there might be an invading army. But, I mean, they're going to destroy what we have here in New York City. We're already filled with homeless people and vets on the streets, but now these people are coming. Oh, my God. And he's blaming Governor Abbott, calling him directly a madman. Eric Adams stating, as we're trying to deal with this, we've got 110,000 migrants we need to feed, clothe, house, educate the children, wash laundry sheets, everything. They had their first day of school start yesterday, and the streets were lined with parents bringing their kids to school. Many didn't even speak English, but trying to get them inside. And, of course, pointing out, according to the New York City mayor, this expanding migrant crisis is because of a madman down in Texas. You need to look to the north, like in D.C. There's where your issue is. And speaking of the issue in New York City, let's go back to Chicago here and check on how they're doing.
This comes as cities like Chicago and New York have just passed 1 year since they began receiving busloads of tens of thousands of migrants from the southern border. The airport shelter is just one example of many throughout the cities, with groups of migrants staying at police stations and vacant hotels as officials attempt to find permanent solutions for them. One migrant, who feared repercussions if they spoke with our News Nation team on camera, sent us this text message saying, quote, "Here we are truly in conditions that are not at all humane. There are many children sick to their stomachs and other things because the food they are being given is not adequate food."
You know, Quentin and I were discussing that. He raised the point, and I'm going to give him credit for it, and saying, you know, these kids are getting food they're not accustomed to eating. It might be rich in sugar, things of that nature, and who knows what diseases they've already carried, and they came and they weren't really checked for physical issues, whatever, when they were sent up there. But they're living in terrible conditions inside Chicago O'Hare Airport. Have you ever had to have a layover at Chicago O'Hare or L.A. or anywhere else for 2, maybe 3 days, snowstorm, whatever? You didn't like it, but was it really inhumane? Come on. Once again, back to New York City Mayor Adams.
And everyone is saying it's New York City's problem. Every community in this city is going to be impacted. We had a $12 billion deficit that we're going to have to cut. Every service in this city is going to be impacted. All of us. And so I say to you, as I turn it over to you, this is some of the most educated, some of the most knowledgeable, probably more of my commissioners and deputy commissioners and chiefs live in this community. So as you ask me a question about migrants, tell me what role you played. How many of you organized to stop what they're doing to us? How many of you were part of the movement to say, we're seeing what this mayor is trying to do and they're destroying New York City? It's going to come to your neighborhoods. All of us are going to be impacted by this.
Yeah, all of us. And how many of you are to blame to saying we're going to be sanctuary city? And again, he's blaming Governor Abbott. Governor Abbott's response by one of his spokesmen is, it's hypocrisy, it's astounding. Mayor Adams was proud to tout his self-described sanctuary city status until Texas began busing migrants to New York City. And they estimate we've only sent 13,000 or so from the Texas border. And of course, Texas has buoys up in the Rio Grande. And who fought to have them take them down, these buoys that were with mesh going down to the bottom so people couldn't swim under them, trying to keep people from crossing? This floating barrier stretches about 1,000 feet, serrated with saw blades and so forth, submerged mesh near Eagle Pass, trying to stop illegals from coming across. Who wanted them to take it down? The federal government, the DOJ under Biden. Federal judge said take it down. Well, then another federal judge sided with Texas, so now it's still an appeal, and the buoys are staying in place. All right, so another subject. Officially, as things stand, the government's going to shut down with money to operate September 30. Will there really be a shutdown? If so, which party's going to get the blame for it? Now, Senator Ted Cruz is saying, I think President Biden and Senator Leader Chuck Schumer want to force a shutdown. Schumer insists, no, we're doing our job.
This month, one of the Senate's top priorities will be to keep the government open beyond the September 30th deadline. Both parties in both chambers will have to work together if we are to avoid a shutdown. So when the House returns next week, I implore, I beg my House Republican colleagues to follow the Senate's lead, to recognize that time is short. And the only way to avoid a shutdown is through bipartisanship in both the House and the Senate.
Now, I'll remind you that the last government shutdown began 4 years ago. That was a fight between the Trump administration and Democrat-led House over funding for then the president's proposed border wall, which would have stopped the issue Eric Adams is facing right now. And, of course, Republicans got blamed for that shutdown. But, again, the employees end up getting their money, but there are other issues that happen to other Americans. But Schumer says everybody's going to feel this if you shut down.
The last thing Americans need right now is a pointless government shutdown. A shutdown will hurt just about every American. And yet there are some on the hard right in the House who say they actually want a shutdown. It's hard to believe that they would be so callous about people's wants and needs and helps and fears. Our economy has come a long way since the darkest days of COVID. Inflation showing slowing down. Job growth remains strong. The investments we've made through the infrastructure law, the CHIPS and Science Act, the Inflation Reduction Act are paying off with new projects, new jobs, and prices going down in so many areas like drugs. We can't squander that all now. A shutdown is unnecessary and would harm many American families and businesses, just about everybody. But if both sides work in good faith, embrace bipartisanship as we've done in the Senate, avoid all or nothing tactics, my way or the highway tactics, which they tried to do on the debt ceiling, then there'll be no shutdown, and that'll be good news for the American people.
Yeah, sure it would, but your compromise is not the compromise you're really talking about. And the senators that are going along with it, they have an R behind their name, but they're not really buying into it. You know the ones that are fighting against it in the House? They're the ones who want more accountability for how money is being spent, and in part to quit weaponizing various departments, and in part to secure our border. They want to see that. And then don't forget, $113 billion going to Ukraine already, and this administration wants to send more. And Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, says, oh, yeah, we should do that.
I'm pleased that there has been bipartisan support in both houses of Congress for Ukraine, and I feel confident that we'll be able to make sure that we have funding. We continue to stand behind Ukraine for as long as is necessary.
Blah, 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 send more money. Biden has left the country. Not forever. He's gone to India for the G20 summit. More on that in the next hour. Plus, News Talk's STL host Christopher Arp's going to join us on his perspective on Democrats losing their hold on minority groups. And before we close out this hour, I have a story that's going to leave you angry, weeping, praying. Going to put all of your emotions in play. You do not want to miss that before we wrap up this hour. And Chris Arp's view of how minority groups are being treated by the Democrats in the next hour. Coming up next, could Bidenomics and the Biden scandals force Biden to get out of the 2024 election? We got the question, we got the answer. Lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, Americans are looking for positive growth, optimism, but that new CNN poll is a disaster for Biden. We have 8 out of 10 Democrats and independents say no, he should not run again. Doesn't inspire confidence, no mental sharpness. They're not proud he's president. What do you think, Governor?
Well, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play?
Right, exactly.
I mean, this is just the most terrible news you could ever be looking at if you're the president. I mean, there's nothing going his way. And this is his own party that's turned against him. And the first reaction you have is, who are the 18% that think he's doing a bang-up job with Bidenomics? I mean, people are really hurting. $700 a month for the typical American family, they're underwater from where they were when Trump was president. It's just that simple. That's $8,400 a year for a family. Most American families could use $8,400, but that's what lower wages and inflation under Bidenomics has done to them.
Yeah, those are the facts and cold, hard facts, not cold, hard cash in the hands of Americans. But they continue to spin the story that it's okay and it's getting better. Give me another 4 years. I don't think we could survive another 4 years at this rate. I know many couldn't. Many are barely able to do it now. That was former Arkansas Governor Huckabee responding to a question from Fox News and talking about how these polls, even the ones I quoted for you yesterday, CNN did a survey showing how badly Biden is doing. And when you begin to look at it in more detail, you find 82% of Democrats, I repeat that again, 82% of Democrats and independents do not want Biden to run again. He's not hearing them, ignoring them, or maybe his cadre around him tells him, hey, everything's good, thumbs up. Fist bump. Good. We're good. But I will point out to you, as things stand right now, the alternative could be a lot worse. It's hard to even fathom that. But do you want to think of Kamala in the Oval Office? There's another nightmare for you. That should keep you awake for a long time. But again, the question that was posed to the governor, former governor of Arkansas, is with all this going on like this, why are they still doing what they're doing? That same program had another guest, which you well know, Steve Forbes, head of Forbes Investment, Forbes Magazine Publishing, and everything else, and the same question for him.
Well, I think so much for Bidenomics. That's really another name for losernomics. And the economy faces very serious headwinds. We all know what's happening to consumers. Payments on credit cards, defaults are going up. Car payments, defaults are going up. Interest rates are now coursing through the economy and having a bad impact. And he keeps making mistakes. Shutting down much of Alaska, absolute insanity.
That's what he did. I mean, if it wasn't already bad enough to make us more energy dependent upon other countries, shutting down oil and gas leases in Alaska. Well, of course, those representing Alaska, supposedly including Murkowski, would be upset with that. But what I'm reading in a report from the Hill, when we were talking earlier about the shutdown of the government, if we can't seem to get this deal together by September 30, and we don't have a continuing resolution, which is McCarthy's already hinting that it could happen, we might have to do that, don't want to, but blah, 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 blah. And I remind you again, the holdouts that Schumer is blasting and complaining are the issue are the House Conservative Caucus, which says, we want an accounting of the money you're spending already on Ukraine, $113 billion. We want money to go into securing our border again. We don't want money going to agencies that are going to be weaponized against Biden's political enemies or the leftist political enemies. And we don't want money spent on forcing everybody to you either buy an electric car, or you can't afford it, well, then you just walk. Or transportation, take public transportation. In fact, we got some electric buses, but a lot of them have been shut down. They've had fires. They won't work, won't start. They got all the answers until it comes to them, and I will guarantee you, not one of them are out there really pushing that issue. But the point as to Murkowski and being concerned, she's a, quote, Alaskan senator with the R behind her name, one of them, and she was concerned about the shutdown possibly coming because those Republicans in the House are just, they just won't bend. They don't understand the value that's at stake. And yes, the federal employees will get all their money when they go back to work. They don't miss anything. But other people will hurt. And there's no doubt that does have some ripple effects. Shutting down oil and gas leases is really hurting not just the state of Alaska, but the nation and our national security issue. But you know what Murkowski is talking about? Reference to possible shutdown. Not, she's not talking about oil and gas leases that Biden has now shut off. She's talking about the possible shutdown. She said, you know, the last time we had a significant shutdown, and believe me, these are people I would care about as well, and they're part of her constituency. And I care about them, but she's trying to highlight this. Here's how people will be hurt if those stupid Republicans over there won't bend and compromise. In other words, come several steps our way. She said, the last time we had a significant shutdown, we couldn't get the crab fishermen into the waters because their permits need to be issued by a federal agency. So they couldn't go out and fish for crab. Their season didn't start until October 1. She said, if we go through this again, this is real life. They're not going to be able to do it again. Well, I would feel for them. I do, and them and their families. I do. Maybe the Senate Democrats, and like she, should be complaining, you open up those oil and gas leases again. That's real big money for the state of Alaska and for our nation. The other question that fits within all this, with a survey showing how poorly Biden is doing on so many different levels, and yet he's still there. Forbes raised a question. I'd like to see, or was it Huckabee, who's the 18% who think he's doing great? Who are those people?
Everything they do is wrong, and that's why he's not going to be the Democratic nominee in 2024.
Well, who's going to be?
The question is, I think they're going to try to do a superdelegate thing and try to get Gavin Newsom. We'll see if that works. But he's not going to be the candidate. He's going to withdraw a la Lyndon Johnson in 1968. He knows he cannot win.
Now, that is the opinion, again, of Steve Forbes, that can Biden stay in the 2024 race with everything going upside down right now. And there's no quick fix at this point. And he's predicting, I don't think he's going to stay. I don't think he's going to be capable of staying. And then, you know, you got the scandals, you got the economy, and he might just decide to step aside. Or, as he said, as LBJ did during Vietnam, just saying, I will not run again. And you could also have, as he said, super delegates come together and put Gavin Newsom at the top of the ticket and change everything up. Now, that's not such a far-fetched idea, that they create these super delegates, that they have more authority and power than the delegates inside the Democrat Party in various states, and they bind together, and boy, they push through anybody they want. And if the number again, may I go back and cite that again? 82% of Democrats and independents do not want Biden running again? It's not going to be hard to get superdelegates pulled together. Same question to former Governor Huckabee. Will Biden stay, drop, or what?
I think either that or the corruption scandal is going to catch up with him. And it could be that the Democrats are almost hoping that it does. And that way they don't have to throw him off the train. He will be under the train because of all of these issues of 20 shell companies that were used to funnel millions of dollars to his family. And I think as people begin to look at that, they're going to say, not only is this guy not capable of doing the job, but we don't want him doing the job because he's a wholly owned subsidiary of China, Russia, and all of these foreign governments that have paid him millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's a very clean fact, isn't it? By the way, here's some news I should share with you. And on the one hand, you're going to say, what? Because I would really bet against this. I would say it's not going to happen because she's not going to be able to hold the gavel, although maybe she thinks she will be able to. Nancy Pelosi is announcing she will run for re-election in 2024. I was convinced that once she lost the House Speaker position, she'd say, that's it, I'll serve out my term as a rep and then I'm done. But she's going to run again. I guess she thinks the Republicans will lose the House. You better not. You better not. And then, of course, there's new talk about Trump and a possible VP pick. And the VP pick is going to be exciting for a lot, and that would be South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. Have you seen the ads of her where she's, you see somebody's under a kitchen sink doing some work, the legs sticking out, the uniform, pants, or whatever, and she crawls out from under the kitchen sink. She's been the one working on it. And saying, come to South Dakota. We got jobs for you. That could be a good decision. And it's also possible that Trump is going to participate in the next debate. He's going to be in Iowa. We'll see what kind of reaction he gets when he goes to the Iowa State Fair coming up. But also the other issue referenced Biden right now. The state-controlled media is not holding back on punching him from time to time. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love it. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're what deep in love. Yes, I know. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This morning we have brand new CNN polling. The numbers, they're looking rough for President Biden. We've been talking about it all morning, and the fact that it could be a troubling sign for Democrats and the president's hope for re-election in 2024.
There is no way to spin this. CNN reads the country's mood right now and finds that America is deeply unhappy with Joe Biden. Most Democratic voters hope for a change at the top of the ticket, and Americans don't take the president and his word when he talks about his son, Hunter.
Joe Biden's like that grandpa that you love, that you believe in, you owe a lot, but you start to wonder, would you give this grandpa a high-stress job for six more years, or would you want something else for him?
55% of Americans, a majority, believe Biden's actions related to the Hunter Biden probe inappropriate.
Oof, problematic. New polling numbers out this morning for President Biden. The CNN poll finds his approval rating sinking to just 39%.
Not one of those reports from state-controlled media was flattering to Joe Biden, was it? As I said, going into, they're not pulling punches anymore. They're suddenly waking up. Maybe. And you had to be real careful here because it's always a shell game with a lot of these folks. But when you hear them, and of course CNN and NNN paid for that poll, so they're going to have to tout it and put it, well, I guess they could have just ignored it and tossed it, but probably some others had access to it, too, and they thought, we better put it out there. We paid for the damn thing. So let's see what it shows. Well, it doesn't show good things for Biden, does it? Not one of those you're listening to from either CNN or MSNBC or any of the others that were in that collection had anything good to say about Joe Biden. Is that suggesting that we're really going to see them turn against him? And are they doing it because now they're trying to be honest? Or is someone behind this curtain still saying, okay, start changing the scenery so when we open the curtain, blah, there's somebody new there? Because Biden has, to use former Governor Arkansas Huckabee, as he stated earlier, he's not been thrown off the train. The train's running over him. I see a light. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. But it's a train. It's not going to be good for him. And everything this administration's done from day one has been ignored by state-controlled media. If it was anything that was hurting American people, such as open borders and immediately canceling the Keystone Pipeline and then pulling from our oil reserves, our emergency oil reserve, which is meant there for an emergency, not to buy votes, which he was doing during some of those months. You know, we got a midterm election coming up. I want you to be able to have cheaper gas. Someone, I saw a prediction the other day, and I, you know, numbers get thrown around a lot. I try not to get embroiled in them too much, but I share them with you because if it's on the net somewhere, you're going to see it anyway, that before the end of next week, you're going to see your price at gasoline stations up 50 cents minimum. Well, does that not say that the last thing we should be doing is shutting down oil and gas leases in Alaska, which Biden just did? He is not even winning with the green crowd. And that's why he had decided to go ahead and do that, because the progressives don't want any drilling, no gas, no fossil fuels, shut it down, and he was allowing some of that to happen. And somebody got to his ear and got his attention and yelled into his ear, maybe while sniffing his hair, I don't know, but saying, shut it down again. Shut them down. It'll be a good thing for the country. There is nothing good for our country to be relying upon any other country for anything, anything. And we are the land of milk and honey. We really are, compared to most countries. And a lot of it has to do with our freedoms, our independence, our liberty, our Constitution, when it's followed. We are a beacon of light for so many. Why do you think all these illegals are coming here? Many want just a better life. They want to get away from where they are. And I can understand that. And you have to put yourself in their shoes for just a moment. You're living in some hellhole, or S-hole, as Trump called them a couple of times. You know it's bad. You want to get out of there, you and your family. You're going to take any opportunity you can. And you've got a Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas saying, oh, the border is secure. We're doing our job. We got all these Border Patrol agents that are working hard and everything. He thinks by praising them, we don't want to talk against the border guards. Well, of course we don't. They're doing what they're told. And he thinks if I praise them, it makes it sound like we're doing a good job. New York City Mayor Adams says, you're not. They're all showing up in his city, and he can't do it. The state of New York itself has said the same thing. And they blame not D.C., not Biden, not the progressives, not the open border crowd. They're blaming Governor Abbott in Texas. You're looking for any possible understanding there. You're not going to find it. It defies common sense. But now watching and listening to that collection of sound bites I had of state-controlled media, basically turning on Biden, I've heard some suggest, might have been Sean Hannity. I'll give credit wherever it's due. A lot of people could say the same thing, but the canary in the coal mine, you know the story there, don't you? Coal miners would take a canary in a cage, or another bird, usually canary, down into the coal mine, because they get down there, there's not enough oxygen, and they won't really realize it right away. You know, they're breathing hard, this tough work and everything else in the old days as it was done, not properly ventilated. But when they looked over and saw the canary was no longer singing because it was dead, it died of lack of oxygen, they realized, we got to get out of here right now. So maybe the state-controlled media is the canary, and they've stopped singing for Biden. You think? Well, in our second hour coming up, following this hour, News Talk STL host Christopher Arps is going to join me. And we're going to talk in part about the state-controlled media turning on Biden and what they think of him at this point. Plus, we're going to talk about Democrats losing minorities. The numbers are appalling as far as Democrats should be concerned. And also, I want to talk to him about how Chris and other minorities get cursed because they're conservatives. But before we close this hour, we have coming up a story that's going to rip at your emotions, all of your emotions.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My country, 'tis of thee.
Why are you doing it?
Because God's children are not for sale.
It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen.
For Homeland Security, you know we can't go off rescuing Honduran kids in Colombia.
So you quit your job and you go and rescue those kids.
That is a clip from the movie Sound of Freedom. Story based on the true story. Shining a light on rescuing a young boy from child traffickers. And the federal agent who does that also learns that the boy's sister is still being held captive, and he tries to get to her and save her and has to go into the Colombian jungle trying to free that child. Why is all this going on right now? Because the Biden administration is allowing illegals to come across unvetted, unchecked, and they can bring children with them, and they appear to be a family, and we're no longer DNA testing to see if that child belongs to them. Or we have children just show up at the border, and they've got a number in their pocket that is called, and they say, we have your niece, Alicia, has arrived. Oh, yes, yes, send her up here. Nobody's checking to see if that child is getting to that number or if that person is even related to her. And then, in fact, the government itself is admitting 200 plus thousand that they know came into the country are missing. They don't know where they are. And that movie, Sound of Freedom, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet. I haven't. I regret I haven't, but it's the Angel Studio production. And it is now currently, it's been extremely popular in the U.S., but it's becoming a global movie. It's spreading by enthusiasm and word of mouth from Buenos Aires to Mexico City to Bogota to Lima, Peru, and beyond because they care about kids. And in some cases, it's their children that are being brought across and sold into sex dens and so forth. It's the number one film in New Zealand, number two in Australia after it opened. Again, I want you to hear from someone describing the base storyline of the movie.
From the beginning, you're going to feel the pain of the father taking his kids, a daughter and a son, who is approached by a recruiter saying, your kids can be models, they can be in movies. He says, tonight, audition is at such and such time. Today, the audition is, tomorrow's audition is such and such time. Father dresses in a suit, takes them to this room, and he takes the kids there. They're excited, put the kids in the room, and the girl says, come back to pick them up at 7 o'clock. He says, what do you mean? Come back to pick them up at 7 o'clock. He leaves, comes back 7 o'clock. No one's there. The idea where they said every year 2 million kids going to trafficking, going into being sold in a black market, and then stats about how you can sell cocaine one time, but you can sell the same child 5 to 10 times a day.
5 to 10 times a day. By the way, and here's where you're going to get additionally angry. They were going to show the Sound of Freedom at the U.S. Southern Command or Southcom headquarters. They even sent out a flyer telling everybody, you know, it'll be available for you to come see it. Military Times got hold of it, and they began to quickly talk about this movie as QAnon embraced, and it's Christian faith-based. In other words, trying to destroy the movie's legacy and integrity and real storyline. The bottom of the invite that was even sent out for Southcom headquarters was, the showing of this film does not imply nor constitute endorsement by the U.S. Army nor Southcom. You don't want to be on record as in being against child trafficking? The government is afraid to say we don't want to embrace something that talks about children being sold into sex slavery. You don't have the guts, you don't have the balls to do that. This is our government. This is the Military Times put out that report. And the film got pulled. And they said it was not going to be shown on basis. You can go see it somewhere else, but they're not going to show it on military bases because it might be associated with QAnon embraced. That's flailing at the wind. But then this part, Christian faith-based. We're talking about protecting children. You could be an atheist and you should care about the health of the children. This stuff right here. All right, coming up in our second hour, Christopher Arps will be joining us. Stand by.